J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that J.C. is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
I know I'm speaking for the entire platoon when I say this run should be postponed until this platoon is better rested.
Nobody can do it like me. Nobody.
Nobody does it better.
Nobody can do it like me. Honestly.
Though sometimes I wish someone could.
Nobody's stronger than me.
Nobody has better toys than I do.
No.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Why'd you have to be so good?
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
Whenever you hold me,
nobody's better.
There's some kind of magic inside you.
And nobody even understands it but me.
That keeps me from running.
Nobody's better.
But just keep it coming.
I know what it means.
Nobody's fighting for the veterans like I'm fighting for the veterans.
Nobody does it better.
There's nobody that's done so much for equality as I have.
Makes me feel safe for the rest.
There's nobody more conservative than me.
Nobody does it half as good as you.
Nobody would be tougher.
Baby, baby.
Nobody knows more about trade than me.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody's ever had crowds like Trump has had.
There's nobody that understands the horror of nuclear better than me.
Nobody knows the game better than I do.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
I know the H-1B, I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do.
Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
It is Monday, the 24th of May, 2021. Here at jcontheline.com, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. It is Monday, and here we go. Just a little programming note, I guess you would say. We're going to be here today. Well, obviously here today, duh. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and again on Thursday, going to take Friday off, going to take Monday off for the Memorial Day holiday. I think it's supposed to cool off. After a very, very warm week, going to cool off for the holiday weekend, may not get out of the upper 70s for high temperatures and overnight lows in the 50s, just for those of you heading towards the lake, whatever lake that may be. Well, it was 37 years ago today that I stepped in front of the microphone in St. Louis for the very first time. It was, in fact, the 24th of May, 1984, and I slid into the chair in that building. You know, I almost didn't take the job. They flew me in from Buffalo. And when I went walking into that Quonset hut that looked like, I don't know, some place that you would store lawn equipment there on Watson Road, the old Casey. And if those of you have been around, you know what we're talking about here. The newbies have no idea what used to go on at that window back in the day. But I went walking into the place And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This is the radio station? This looks like someplace you would store rakes and wheelbarrows. And the equipment was old and beat up. And I was like, yeah, we're gonna be moving. I'm like, I don't know. So I almost did not take the job. Almost. Then I figured, what the hell am I gonna do? Go back to Buffalo and sit? I had been fired at the urinal by the boss. I'm not going to relive all of this. Most of you have been listening. You've heard these stories about a million times, so I'm not going to bore you and me both by going through the whole thing. Let's just say it's an anniversary, and let's leave it at that. This is an anniversary for me personally. It's had nothing to do with being on the air. Well, sort of in a tertiary way. So many of you will remember that for about, I don't know, was it 15 or 16 years, I would frequently fly to Los Angeles or New York to go see premieres of new movies that are going to be opening up in a couple of weeks. And then you'd get an opportunity to interview the stars, and then I'd come back. And first on Channel 5, later on Channel 4, I would run those interviews. And maybe look like a big shot because I'm sitting there with Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey got a job, by the way. He's going to be in an Italian film called The Man Who Drew God, his first gig since sexual assault allegations totally derailed his career about 4 years ago. But anyway, maybe you look like a big shot. And I loved the trips, especially in like January, February, March, right in there. Go to Los Angeles, sun is shining, it's 80 degrees. There were times, I have to confess, that I agreed to go to Los Angeles on a movie junket just because I wanted to get out of St. Louis for a weekend in the middle of winter. So I'm sitting there, you know, interviewing the stars of Stop or My Mom Will Shoot 3, thinking to myself, what am I doing here? What am I doing? Oh, that's right. It's 11 degrees in St. Louis and the sun's out and I'm in the pool between interviews here in Los Angeles. But every once in a while, it would be someplace else like Chicago, or there were some that were out of the country in London and in, France, Mexico, places like that. I did go on the Mexico one. That's where I hurt my back for the very first time. But every once in a while, they'd have a trip in Orlando, like a Disney movie. And in this particular case, they said, we're going to let you bring your family too. I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, we'll put you in one of the nice Disney hotels, pick up the tab for the whole thing. Come on down here and just see this new movie, Mulan. My daughter was only a couple of years old at the time, but she, you know, had been to enough movies to know what was going on. So we flew into Orlando, and they put us in one of the really nice hotels. In fact, it was the hotel where that woman was walking her dog, and a gator jumped out of the water and grabbed. Was it the dog or was it a kid? I think it was a kid. Just walking along the shore there, and a gator pops out, grabs the kid. I got to look that up. My mind's playing tricks on me now. I originally thought it was a dog. The more I thought about it, I think it was a little toddler. But the reason I'm telling you the story is because my daughter, who was, like I said, only a couple years, probably four. Well, let me figure out. It was 1998, so she was five. She was 5 years old. And for the first time, stayed in a hotel with us where there was room service. And at 5 years old, she could not get her head around the idea that all she had to do was ask us for a grilled cheese sandwich. We would pick up the phone and say, one grilled cheese sandwich, please. And in half an hour, it would show up at the front door. She just about passed out. She did not understand, however, the concept of us having to pay for some of this stuff. Like I said, almost everything was picked up. The tab was picked up by Disney. But, you know, every once in a while, you got to pay for something. You got to pay. I mean, you just can't, like, sit there and order unlimited food. I think they had us, like, on $125 a day or something, which is still pretty cool. But to watch a five-year-old head explode over the concept of room service, I will never forget on this date back in 1998. And the movie was pretty good, too. The climate change deniers are stupid. And I spend a lot of time in the Tampa Bay area now because we have a place down in Florida now. And so we're back and forth. I have always been Twister Boy, as you know. My unrealized potential as a television weatherman haunts me to this day. But we're going to have hurricanes starting now, which is way, way too early. For hundreds of years, who knows, maybe in thousands of years, the hurricanes, you know, start here and end there. You have your hurricane season. And now you can throw that out of the window because of climate change. The water's getting too warm. And we're having more hurricanes. We're having them earlier than we should, longer than we should. and they're more intense than they ought to be. So what is something like 8 or 9 of the last 10 years have been the warmest ever recorded on the planet. That goes back to the late 1800s, which in the grand scheme of things is about a millisecond when you talk about the history of the planet Earth. But it's still something to take into consideration. And, you know, you start talking to these marine biologists and these people who make their living floating around on boats and sampling water and sea life and creatures and trends and temperatures and plankton and all that sort of stuff that a marine biologist does. And they'll tell you, about another 30 to 50 years, and a lot of places are going to be underwater. Florida, New York, Galveston, Texas, you know, places like that. And again, it's like everything else. There's a lot of people who just stand there and point and go, what an idiot, you believe that? So they won't believe the truth with scientific data, lots of it, to back it up. But they will believe that Hillary Clinton is in the basement of a pizza joint in New Jersey, a building, by the way, that doesn't even have a basement, down there drinking blood of, I don't know, aborted fetuses. I have no idea. With the temperature of Earth and the water on Earth getting too warm and causing more intense and more frequent hurricanes, nah, we don't believe that. Back in the late 80s, I want to say it was 1988, Steven Seagal was in town. Matter of fact, I can tell you for sure it was 1988, and I have a reference point on that, which I won't bore you with right now. But Steven Seagal came into St. Louis. We didn't even know how to pronounce his name. It's spelled S-E-A-G-A-L. And I was like, oh, Steven Seagal. Apparently, he's going to be the new action star, hero, guy, whatever the case may be. And then when he got there, it's like, it's Seagal. Oh, okay, fine. Steven Seagal, whatever the case may be. We were doing a live show from the Houlihan's in West County. We had hundreds of people there. It was really, really, I think it was St. Patrick's Day, as a matter of fact. And they, my friend Bob Lieberman, who was our liaison with Warner Brothers Pictures in Los Angeles, he comes walking in with this guy, and nobody really knew who he was. He seemed very entertained by what was going on. You know, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. He's on L.A. time, so he didn't know which end is up. And he comes walking in, there's hundreds of people, and they're like, hey, how you doing? And I don't even think I had seen his new movie yet. I didn't know what to ask the guy. So we were just sort of hanging out with him, whatever. So we did that. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I went back down to the TV station. They brought him again into the building. And this time I actually interviewed him for TV. And I don't know, I was in a silly mood and we were laughing. He had done a movie with Sharon Stone. And I asked him, because there were a lot of rumors about her at that time about being difficult to work with. And so I asked him, I said, this was before the camera was rolling. And I said, well, so what was it like? And he called her the C word. Like, okay, I'm glad I didn't do that on camera. All right, so anyhow, we do the interview, and he says the oddest thing to me. He says, you know, if you lived in Los Angeles, you and I would hang out. I'm like, the hell does that even mean? I guess that was his way of saying what? That he liked me? So this morning, the story surfaces that Juliana Margulies, remember her from ER? She had an awkward interview with Seagal about 30 years ago. First of all, when she sat down on the couch, she felt his gun under the cushion. And he's like, oh, I must have left my gun there. Then he read her palm and told her she had, and this is a quote, weak kidneys. Answering the question, just exactly how weird is Steven Seagal? And he's just gotten weirder over time. But if I lived in L.A., he and I would hang out. The season finale of Saturday Night Live was pretty cool over the weekend. The only bad part of it is the show did the cold open with Kenan Thompson, Aidy Bryant, Cecily Strong, Kate McKinnon, and Pete Davidson. And all of them are rumored to be leaving the show. Kenan Thompson's been there for 18 years. Kate McKinnon's been there 10 seasons. Aidy Bryant and Cecily Strong, 8 seasons. And the fact that they had all of them up on stage for the cold open has been taken as some sort of sign that these are the 4 people who are leaving. At one point, Kate McKinnon got choked up when she said, quote, this is the year when we realize we're more than just a cast. We're family, end quote. I hope this story is wrong, because how do you come back from Kenan Thompson, 18 years, Cecily Strong, Kate McKinnon, come on. How do you recover from that? Even though these, you know, newbies, the brand new cast members like Chloe Fineman, who I believe is from the Kansas City area, and then also Bowen Yang. That's the gay Asian guy. He is going to be a massive, massive superstar. You watch. And Heidi Gardner, she's the one from Kansas City. Heidi Gardner, she's amazing. She can do anything. I think Heidi Gardner is possibly the new Kristen Wiig. Keep your eye on her, though. That's going to be a big story in the entertainment business. And then my favorite part of Saturday Night Live is always Weekend Update, and especially the last Weekend Update of the season. That was their season finale over the weekend. And Colin Jost and Michael Che, for a couple of years now, have had a tradition on the final episode of Saturday Night Live every year.
We're making each other read jokes live on air that the other person has never seen before.
And the idea is to keep it fun, light. No one's going to get canceled. No one's families are going to get threatened. You know, have fun.
Sure, we'll see. Well, why don't you go first? That's fine.
An obese monkey in Thailand named Godzilla has been sent to a special facility to lose weight. Official realized the monkey was overweight when a bunch of black guys kept hitting on it.
Pretty racist, Colin. Las Vegas is opening a pop-up vaccine site in a strip club, and don't worry, the strippers say the vaccine is a lot like Michael Che. Very quick, and you can barely feel it go in.
Warner Brothers is producing a new movie in which Superman is black. And a black Superman actually makes a lot of sense when you remember that Superman was abandoned by his parents as a baby. Well, I knew you'd like that one, so here's another one. Warner Brothers is producing a new movie in which Superman is black. In this version, black Superman's kryptonite is an honest day's work.
Down on black Superman. San Diego police are being investigated after video surfaced of them using excessive force on a homeless black man accused of urinating in public. But I say great work keeping our streets clean, boys. Yes, sir. Anything the police do is all right with old Mikey Che. I know I'm probably the only black man brave enough to say this on live TV. But blue lives matter even more.
Oh, and there's more. But go ahead and download it, watch it on YouTube, whatever, on demand, because what a funny show it was. And by the way, it was the first time that Saturday Night Live had a full studio audience. They've had people in the audience before, but this was full capacity. And man, was that crowd geeked. You could even see the cast members from time to time looking at each other like, what the F is going on in here tonight? All right, late night tonight, Dave Grohl. I'm with Jimmy Fallon and Elizabeth Banks. I'm with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Anthony Anderson. Don Cheadle pops up with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has Ewan McGregor. Dick Van Dyke, Garth Brooks, Debbie Allen, Joan Baez, all getting the Kennedy Center honor over the weekend. You'll see that show. I believe it's in December. Actor Danny Masterson is in a shitload of trouble. He's been ordered to stand trial on 3 separate counts of rape. This Tim Tebow thing is already out of control in Jacksonville. His jersey now is one of the top 5 selling apparel items on NFL Shop. Phil Mickelson turns to the collective world at the PGA Championship yesterday and says, bite me, I'm 51. Birthdays today, John C. Reilly, comedy superstar, 56. Kristen Scott Thomas, wow, from The English Patient. Where the hell has she been? 61 today. Roseanne Cash, lover, 7-year ache, 66. Priscilla Presley, who had an opportunity to interview her a couple of times for the Naked Gun movies. She's very nice, very pretty. 76. Patti LaBelle, Lady Marmalade, 77. Gary Berghoff from MASH, 78. Bob Dylan is 80 today and somehow easier to understand as a toddler than he is able to be understood now. And Tommy Chong is 83. Thelma and Louise released on this date 30 years ago in 1991 and 15 years ago today, 2006, in one of the great travesties in American Idol history. Taylor Hicks beat Catherine McPhee to win the fifth season of American Idol. He shows up at this charity event that I was invited to, something like pediatric AIDS or, so I just remember it had something to do with little kids. It was a big fundraiser and they were auctioning off a lot of memorabilia and stuff like that. And Taylor Hicks, this is right after he won American Idol. He's in town and the rumor is Taylor Hicks is going to come by. It got some people excited. So he finally shows up really, really late in the event. It was almost over and then says, I'm not singing. And I'm like, what the fuck are you going to do? Sell kisses, you asshole? So we can do without him. Catherine McPhee cranking out babies with David Foster is like 40 years older than her. Nothing wrong with that if you can make it work. The fact that he'll be dead in a couple of years and she'll be raising the kid on her own doesn't seem to be an obstacle. I started the podcast today with a mention of the fact that I am starting my 38th year broadcasting, podcasting, whatever this all is anymore. The lines are getting all blurred. But I'm digging into the archives for this one because we're taking you back to 1985 today. Now, you have to understand something. This was at the old KC Morning Zoo. And I would be in a studio by myself. And then John Hewlett was actually two studios over. And I would look at him through two panes of glass because he was two studios over. And in the middle studio was Nancy Crocker, who was part of the show for a while. And then DJ would sort of float around, but he was usually in the studio with me. So it was not the ideal setup. But you know what? We made it work anyhow. We are number one in the entire market. That's all that matters. And this guy was on KMOX for years, Jack Carney, kicks the bucket. And they bring in a guy from Miami by the name of Arnie Warren. And I've been in this situation before. I've been in it many, many times where you come into a new station, you're supposed to be the big hot shot, you sit down at the microphone, you start talking, and just nobody cares. And you just can't get the thing to work. You get blown out a year later and you find a new job. And Arnie was bombing and he was bombing bad. And on top of all of it, as you'll hear, Arnie also had some family problems because I guess, you know, they move him from Miami, but he's sitting in a hotel in St. Louis. His family is down in Florida. They got to sell the house. They got to wait for the kid to get out of school. And I pick up the newspaper and I come into the building one morning at Casey and I sit down and it says, as you'll hear, Arnie's family has made a tough decision. I'm laughing because I know what's coming. How about a little acid flashback back to 1985 on this, my 37th anniversary of arriving in St. Louis. Have fun with this.
All right, John, this comes right out of the newspaper yesterday. We called this one, John. Except for a brief visit next month, KMOX's radio new host, Arnie Warren, has decided he will not be living with his family for at least another year.
What?
Now, Arnie's been here how long? A couple of months, maybe? 2 months?
Something like that.
And we've been talking about this, that his wife and kids are still in Florida, which is where they lived before Arnie got the job here in St. Louis. And we kind of speculated that, you know, his daughter is probably on the beach there getting picked up by strange guys. No parental, you know, supervision whatsoever. Arnie's here in St. Louis, as John said, playing Arthur Godfrey records. His daughter could be down in Florida sleeping with God knows who, doing God knows what, with God knows how many people watching. It was a tough decision, Warren says, but daughter Leslie, she's 17, has one more year to go at Plantation High. That's in Florida, John. And 99% of the people they talked with urged them to let her finish school there. Warren's wife, Joan, their daughter and son, Chris, 18, will be coming to town for a six-week visit on June 23rd. The Warrens plan to lease a home here for that get-together. See, Warren, Arnie is still living in the hotel downtown.
I think they'll ask for a waterbed. Just curious.
The likable replacement for the late Jack Carney says emphatically that the decision to leave the family in Florida has nothing at all to do with waiting to test the broadcasting waters here. See, Arnie wants to know whether he's going to get blown out before he moves his whole family here. Mm-hmm. And judging from having heard his show a couple of times, that's a legitimate concern. He declines, however, to say whether he has signed a long-term contract with KMOX. That's just nobody's business, he says bluntly. Regardless, he now has the unenviable task of running a family long distance from here in our town.
That must be hell at supper time. Eat on the phone.
Pass the salt. Okay, Federal Express, hello, can you get him near us by tomorrow morning?
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
Okay, Artie, salt's coming.
Well, they have a speakerphone in the middle of their table, their dinner table down in Florida, and Dad's on the phone. They have their conversations via the...
Here's a show with liars.
The squawk box. Dad's on the squawk box at supper time.
it's like one of those commercials on cable TV, you know, where they show that cheap speakerphone thing that you can get, you know, and everybody's talking to grandma and everything like that right on the speakerphone. Now, just to show you what liars they have working over there, they did a whole story about Arnie, about how cool, he was so happy to be coming to St. Louis, and his family, his kids are so excited about leaving the beaches of Florida to come to Missouri. They're so excited, and we're right on the air saying, Arnie, you're full of crap. Nobody believes you. You're lying, dude. You're lying. We called this 2 months ago when we saw the article, and what happens? Arnie was lying the whole time, apparently. That's what it sure looks like to me, because now, when all is said and done, Arnie's still over there living in the hotel, you know, trying to hit on the cleaning lady.
So, hey, baby, you know me, Arnie Warren, KMOX? I just here to clean the room, sir. I just here to clean the room. Hey, so come on over here. What do you say? You sit down on the bed here, we'll talk, okay? What, you like St. Louis? Where you been all my life? What's your sign, huh? I just here to clean the room, sir. You done with the bathroom now? Arnie Warren, you know KMOX? I'm the guy talking on the radio, that's me.
So tough break for the Warrens. Arnie, you'll be here, they'll be there.
The old morning zoo crystal ball works again.
I see a large black maid in your future. As I said, a tough break for the Warrens. And I'm sure they'll overcome it. Arnie will figure out some way to just muster up the enthusiasm to do the show every day on KMOX, and we wish him the best. All right, it's coming up toward 9 o'clock, and here's John with the news.
You always do this, you know? You get me going like this, and you say, now do the news. hold on.
and the maid says, sir, where all these phlegm balls come from in the toilet? You're screwing up the toilet here, sir.
Yeah, you gotta do phlegm balls before Bob Hyland will hire you over at KMOX.
Sir, I can't scrape these out of the sink.
Here, let me give you a hand here.
Sir, you doing more pushing than you are scraping, sir. Ah, poor Arnie. Ah, poor Arnie. Oh. Come on, John. Pull yourself together over there.
By the way, could somebody oil that chair one of these days?
Yeah, really.
So, what do you say? They come into town or they staying in Miami? Oh, I see them staying in Miami. I see your daughter getting picked up by strange guys.
Okay. We gotta do the news just to spare Arnie any more grief. Hold on.
The morning zoo crystal ball works again.
Okay.
You know, we get interviewed in the paper. We tell the truth. We say what we're thinking. We end up suffering for it later, but at least we tell the truth. Arnie is just like doing a whole PR thing over there. It looks like, they're so excited about coming to St. Louis. It's going to be a super top here. We're super excited about leaving Miami and coming to Missouri. And boy, and Bob Hyland, the super guy at KMOX, has a tradition of the Cardinals and all this stuff. And boy, oh boy, St. Louis, Missouri, blah, blah, blah. The wife and kids are staying in Miami. I lied right through my teeth. Back then.
Jeez.
Okay.
Oh man. I remember it like it was yesterday, but it was 1985. And with that, the Monday, May 24th edition of the JC Corcoran podcast here at jcontheline.com is in the can. Please help us out. Spread the word. Let everybody know that we are here at jcontheline.com. We publish at 7 o'clock every morning. You can listen, download whenever you feel like it. You can follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran podcast.